From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. Hillary Rodham Clinton cruised to a landslide victory yesterday in the West Virginia primary. She crossed Senator Obama by taking 67% of the vote, but is her win too little too late? The Clinton campaign says West Virginia shows she can win in the key swing states and Obama cannot. NPR senior editor Ron Elving gives us the inside scoop. Hey, Ron.
Hey, Farai. Good to be with you.
Yes, always good to have you. And so with another primary behind us, are people jumping the gun when they say Obama is going to be the nominee?
I don't believe people are jumping the gun because people are looking at the numbers, the arithmetic, the mathematics. Where people would be jumping the gun, however, would be in saying that there is absolutely no way that this thing could still turn around. There is a way that it could still turn around if the superdelegates decided that they wanted to overrule the pledged delegates. And as we've been saying, of course, for many months now, the pledged delegates are those people whose votes reflect the actual results in the caucuses and primaries, and they are the dominant delegate type. But then there are about 800 people who get to go to the convention, 800 out of 4,500 voting delegates, and they get to go because they're members of the National Democratic Committee or because they are elected office holders who are Democrats, mostly members of Congress. Now, these people can exercise their independent judgment, and if they wish to do so, they can overturn the result among the pledged delegates. So the pledged delegate count is pretty much set. We know where that's going to wind up. Barack Obama is going to be something like 140 or 150 ahead. Not a huge margin, but certainly a substantial one. And the superdelegates are going to have to decide which way they want to go. But as you know, over the past week, Barack Obama has moved into the lead among the superdelegates. That's the direction their judgment is going. They are showing no inclination whatsoever to overrule the pledged delegates.
Now, an Associated Press exit poll showed 1 in 4 Clinton voters said that race was a factor in their vote. Now, we should also say that West Virginia is a state with only 5% black population. Also, a Washington Post article this week explored racial incidents that some Obama volunteers faced while campaigning. So race is part of the race. Can Obama overcome race if he's nominated?
I don't believe that Barack Obama is going to make America forget race. In November, people are going to be looking at an African-American candidate and a white American candidate, and that's going to be part of their perception. The question is, can he make other issues more important to people than the issue of race? And that has obviously been a great question, if not the great question, in American social history. So all of these other factors are going to come into play. Where the two candidates stand on the issues, which of these two people Americans can imagine in the White House and representing their views in the White House, who they want to have be representing America around the world. All of these different things that always come into play in a presidential election will come into play again, and then we'll have to weigh them against the longstanding American preoccupation with race.
So how many contests do we have left?
Not too many. Next Tuesday, we have Kentucky and Oregon. That will probably be one for each candidate. Then on June the 1st, we have a primary in Puerto Rico, which doesn't vote in the presidential election in November, but does send delegates to the convention. And then on June 3rd, we have Montana and South Dakota. And Farai, that's it.
Well, you know, when the Democrats go to Kentucky and Oregon, Obama didn't actually campaign in those states. He went to Missouri instead. So what was the reasoning behind that?
The Obama campaign feels that it's time to start looking at the performance of their candidate against John McCain in the fall, not only because that's what matters ultimately the most, but because what happens between now and some of these other events I just described is not going to make a great deal of difference. We assume that that Hillary Clinton will pick up some more delegates by winning Kentucky and Puerto Rico. The other three events look likely to go to Obama. It's probably going to be pretty close to a wash, maybe a few more delegates for her. That's not the issue anymore. The issue now is persuading superdelegates, and that's done largely through the media. And so Barack Obama is going out to the swing states for the fall election and campaigning against John McCain and sending a message to the superdelegates that he's ready for that matchup.
We know that Senator Clinton has a large campaign debt, some reports say $20 million. Does Senator Obama still have a war chest to use for things like television ads?
Yes, Obama essentially has as much money as he needs. And this has been a tremendous, tremendous strength of his campaign throughout, that whenever money was the question, whenever money was the issue, he could supply the money through his extraordinary fundraising largely on the internet. It's not just that people have given him money, it's that so many more people have given him money than any other politician in American history. It used to be a big deal to get 100,000, 200,000 donors to your campaign. Now, of course, several candidacies have pushed well beyond those numbers. Certainly Hillary Clinton has. But Barack Obama blew right straight through 500,000, 1 million. He's now approaching 1.5 million donors. And of course, they are not all giving the maximum amount of money. Most of them are just giving $100 or less or $200 or less. Nonetheless, the size, the base of that fundraising operation means that he can raise all the money that he needs, including, very possibly, money that would go to help retire Hillary Clinton's campaign debt after she does drop out, assuming someday she does.
Well, Ron, thanks so much.
Thank you, Farai.
That was NPR's senior Washington editor, Ron Elving, and he joined me at NPR headquarters in Washington, D.C.